This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the title of my message this morning are You Missing a Crown? You know, there's a lot of things in the Christian life that we miss out on because we just don't do them. And God wants to give us life abundant. He wants to give us joy unspeakable. And so we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 as a way of kicking off. But we're going to talk about spiritual crowns this morning. And in our text this morning, but before we read, let's go to Lord in prayer, and then we'll see what truth says. And if our Lord, just help us today. Help us, Lord, to follow your word. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Help your Holy Spirit to have full reign here. While you say on our behalf, Father, help us leave changed. Help us to want to desire to please you and to honor you and to glorify you through our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage this morning, it says, Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In way of introduction, before we go into what these crowns are all about, is there some lessons that we can learn from this text? The first one is that we need to be strong in God's grace in verse 1. That is my prayer for all of you. That should be your prayer for one another. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by God's grace that we serve God. It's only by God's grace that we be a vessel fit for His use. We need to be strong in God's grace, and even more as we see the day approaching. In verse 2, we need to encourage others to lead in the faith. We need to be actively discipling other people. We need to find people and lead them to Christ, and then that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. And teach them what we have learned. We're supposed to comfort one another with the same comfort that God comforts us with. And so we need to encourage others to lead in the faith. And then we need to be a good soldier for Christ. When Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about the spiritual warfare. When he writes to the church at Ephesus, which we're going to start in 2 weeks, study of that book. It's a spiritual warfare that we're fighting. What happened yesterday is spiritual warfare because there's evil present. So we need to be a good soldier of Christ. And we're supposed to endure hardness. Let's endure trials. And then don't get tangled up with the world. God set you free of that. And a lot of people miss out because they don't understand their freedom in Christ. Verses 5 to 7 talks about obtaining this crown. In verse 5, we see that we need to strive lawfully. In today's world, we always want to take a shortcut. We want to find some easier way. There is no other way but God's way. Amen. His way is truth. And we need to follow that way. In verse 6, we need to be like a farmer. He labors incessantly. I don't see how anybody can be a farmer in South Texas. It doesn't rain. It's hard. And it's just that much harder work. But a farmer has to work from the start all the way to bringing the crop in. And you know, a lot of people stop short of the end. And you miss out. And you miss out. And the last one is, we need to learn effectively. It says that consider what I say. We need to consider what we hear preached here. We need to consider God's word. And the Lord, not your brain, the Lord will give you understanding in how many things? All things. So this morning we're going to be talking about these five spiritual crowns. But the issue is that there is effort required in getting them. In our proof text here, it says that no one striveth for the mastery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye all may obtain." I got news for you. There's only one winner in a race. Everybody else gives the best effort. But there's only one winner. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." If you want to earn something from God, you need to work for it. Not work for your salvation. Work because you are saved. Work because you now have His grace. Work because you now have His strength. Work because you now have His peace. Work because now you have His truth. But in order to win a crown, you have to run the race. You have to be in the race. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and that's all it is. We need to work at this. We're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You don't win a medal if you never run the race. And we're all involved in the race. The second thing in the effort required is that we need to respect the training that is required. It says, every man that striveth for the master, everyone who wants to be a professional athlete, this is the Olympics time. And you hear interviews of people who make the team and say, "I've waited all my life to do this." Folks, that should be the Christian's attitude. Amen. All my life to see my Jesus. Amen. All my life to see Him work in my life. It says that every man that striveth is temperate in all things. You know, our athletes, they eat right, they sleep right. They don't have habits that would be detrimental. Christians, we need to eat right and think right and do right and live right because we're in a race. In verse 26, we need to understand what the race is about. Because if you don't understand why you're running, you won't run very well. And we need to understand that it says, "I therefore so run not as what? Uncertainty. So does fight I, but not as one that just throws and flails around and beats the air." Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul writes this. He says, "I forget the things that are behind, and I'm looking things that are ahead." And then he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, if everybody did that, we wouldn't have the problems we got today. Amen. We'd all be striving to glorify God. Verse 27, we need to reject what causes defeat. And there's a lot of people that say, "Well, I can get away with this. It's just a little thing." No, you can't. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says, "But I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, there's people that take drugs and steroids and everything else for shortcuts, and they get caught. And medals get stripped, and awards get stripped, and records get stripped because of that. Folks, we need to do things God's way. Amen. You can't think of a better way. It's God's way, or no way at all. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that's all the people in chapter 11, "let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset us." Today, folks, if you're living in sin, doing something that you know God is telling you not to do, you need to stop it today. Amen. You can't run the race. You're not a vessel fit for His use. Amen. "Which so doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." When I was in high school, I ran too much in track. You needed patience on that thing. You run the first two laps, you got another six to go. And that guy's getting further and further ahead, and you have to work harder and harder and harder. You've got to run with patience the race that is set before us. So there's the effort required. And why do we need to understand the effort? Because the crowns that are waiting lie before us. Lie before us. There are five crowns. Some people will say that there are others. Okay? Some people say there's fewer than that. But these are crowns that the Bible specifically talks about. So we're going to look at these. And folks, if we're striving for all these crowns, we'll be the Christian that God wants us to be. And so we're going to talk about what the crowns are. We're going to talk about how you get them. The first one is the crown of life. And the way you get that is you endure temptation through the love of Christ. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the what? The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." We can't do anything without God's love. It's God's love that put us here. It's God's love that made creation. And we need to understand that the love of Christ constrains us, and the love of Christ allows us to get through these trials. And a temptation is just not some lust thing. It's a trial in your faith. Because the other way to get the crown of life, the second condition, is that we endure persecution through faith in Christ. In the book of Revelation, John writes to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey. To the church at Smyrna, he writes this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." That's not a good outlook. Sometimes the race is not very pleasant to look at. But we need to do it. "That ye may be" what? "Tried. And that ye shall have temptation, tribulation, 10 days. Here's the thing. Temptation and tribulations and tests aren't permanent. The fact that we get them is a given. But the length of them should not be permanent. One day we'll go into glory and there will be no more trials. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee" a what? "Crown of life." So you want this crown, you need to run the race. Along the way, there's trials along the way. You may hurt. You may want to give up. You may be distracted. People might yell at you. But you keep on running. Because God loves you. You keep on running. Because you have faith in Christ. And you'll get the faith. You'll get the crown of life. The second one is this. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me." Paul is reciting what's happened in his life. And all the issues that he'd gone through and all of his mission work. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's a condition for this. The condition is that we're supposed to live a life expecting Christ's return. We just finished up a study in 1 and 2 Peter on Wednesday night. In the last 2 weeks, we talked about the return of Christ. And how it ought to change our life. Knowing what's coming in judgment should cause us to live a different life. Are you expecting Christ's return? John says in Revelation chapter 22, he says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Christ can come today. Are you ready? Are you ready? We need to live a life that's exemplary of Christ's righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto ye were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps." It's not how you think, it's what Christ says. And then we need to do it. And you know something? If you're working for the crown of righteousness, if you're looking for Christ to return, he says, you need to be ready. You need to occupy till I come. You need to do all these things. And you know what you'll have also? You'll have the crown of life too. Because you get through temptation to the other side. Because you know that there's something better. Christian, I'm telling you, there's something better. There's something better beyond November. There's an eternity out there that Christ died on the cross to give us a home in heaven for.
Amen.
And no one's going to take that away. So are you working for the crown of life? How are you doing with temptation? Are you working for the crown of righteousness? Are you looking for His coming? Do you expect Him today? Or are there things you got to get rid of? The third one is the crown of glory. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither be as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." We see in these letters that Peter wrote, that he singles out groups of people, but then he comes back and he says, "You all have to do this. We all are leaders. If you know Christ, what are you supposed to do? Tell others. And when you tell others, you need to show them the way." There's three things about the crown of glory that we need to recognize. The first one is we need to be cognizant of the duties as a leader. We are all ministers. We are all servants. We are all Christian. We should encourage one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 12, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Right. You want this crown, you need to be faithful. If you're faithful, you'll live a good life. If you're faithful, you'll be expecting Christ to return. You need to care as a leader. It says here, "Feed the flock of God." Now, Peter would know, because on that last breakfast that they had together, Christ said, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him three times. And each time he said, "Yes, you know I do." He says, "Take care of the flock. Take care of the sheep. Feed the sheep." Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which over the which the Lord, the Holy Ghost, have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He had purchased with His own blood." Is it required in stewards that we be found faithful? We all have a part in this body of Christ here. We all have some leadership somewhere. What are we doing with that? We need to be looking forward. We need to be cognizant of our duties as a Christian. We need to care as a leader. And then we need to have consideration for those being led. He says here, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint." One way to lose your crown is to do it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it because you have to, you're going to lose the reward. If you're doing it because you want to, it's there. Because what we need to do for consideration for those being led is that we need to be willing. The second thing here in verse 2, it says, "But of a ready mind." We need to be ready. And not for what people do. You know, we know of churches where the leaders are just in it for themselves. And they're not in it for the people. That's not the purpose of the church. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to edify the body so we all come to the full stature of the measure of Christ. We need to set a proper example. In verse 3. Don't need to be lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The Bible says, "Consider yourself lest you fall." Lest you fall. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says this, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou a what? An example. And all those kids in here, you know how you can make a difference in this life? Be an example of what God can do in your life. You've got your entire life ahead of you. Be an example of the believers in word. What you say in conversation, how you live in charity, how you love and why you love in spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Are we spirit controlled? Are we spirit filled? Or we're not? In faith, in purity. So the first one is the what? The crown of life. The second one is the crown of righteousness. The third one is the crown of glory. The fourth one is the crown of rejoicing. It's a soul winner's crown. Everybody should be working for this. Because we're all given the Great Commission. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are ye not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" You know, Christ said this. He says, "There is joy in the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." Right. This is a crown that gives you joy right now. And it gives heaven joy. Because there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine! Amen. And the white robed angel singing the story. A sinner has come home! Oh, folks. We need to be about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and what? Crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." For those who had a privilege of leading someone else to Christ, there's happiness there. There's joy there. There's joy in that person. There's joy in you too. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." You know, the crown of life says you have life inside of you. The crown of righteousness says that life is living out in good works. The crown of glory basically says God is the purpose of my life. The crown of rejoicing means if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And those crowns are awaiting. You know, you don't get the crown until you finish the race. So there's the crown of rejoicing. And then lastly, the incorruptible crown. We've already seen that in the effort required. Just remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Folks, it's time to start living in the Spirit and not living in the flesh. It says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We all must learn temperance. Temperance is self-control. Peter made it a big issue. He said several times in his letters, he said, "All diligence, work at it." How hard are you working? He says in verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, he says, "And above all this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And in verse 6, he says, "And to knowledge temperance." Because with self-control, then you will have patience. And then if you have patience, you can be godly. And then if you have godliness, you have brotherly kindness. And if you can be kind to your brother, then you can have love. We must learn temperance. More so today. Let's be different. Not like the world. Because we're working for the incorruptible crown. One that does not fade away. We must exhibit temperance. is one of the fruits, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 24 says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And what's the last one? Temperance. Temperance. That means you are God-controlled. God-controlled. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We need to understand what Galatians 2 says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? Faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, these build on one another. You can't be an effective Christian unless you're working for all five of these. We all need to go and endure temptation and not give in. We work for the crown of life. We all need to do good works. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that's the crown of righteousness. We need to be looking forward to a second coming. We need to be responsible to one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to the household of faith. We need to win souls. Time is running out. The night is far spent. We need to look at being temperate. So those are the crowns that are waiting. How are you doing on those? Lastly, quickly, the care for these crowns. The care for these crowns. They must be guarded while we're here on earth. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 says, and behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The crowns are not here right now. They get rewarded to us at the end. You know, the crown prince, you know, Charles was a crown prince for all of his life until recently he became king. But he was the prince. The crown was waiting for him. Folks, we're going to be joint heirs with Christ. We're going to rule and reign with him. That's coming. Should we not live for him now? Don't let any man take away your crown. Don't let it get sidetracked by what's going on in the world. Keep your eyes on Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The election's not going to save you. God will.
Amen.
Stories won't. Truth will. Why work for these crowns anyway? Because they're used to glorify God. There's an example in Revelation of what happens to crowns. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says this. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. When did they do that? When they heard the beast say, glory, glory, glory. Lord God Almighty, they fall down and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. If you're not working for these crowns, you don't feel that God is worthy in your life. We need to work to show our love for him. Spiritual crowns. First of all, you must want them. Do you want them? Go ahead and cast them back at God's feet. If you want them, you got to work for them. I showed you today what you need. And then you must worship with them because it glorified God. The first thing we need is salvation in Christ. If you don't know Him, you don't have the power. You don't have His grace. You don't have His mercy. You have no capability of pursuing this. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on it, you're not going. Because Christ did it on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
If you are saved, what are you doing about it? How are you living your life? Are you living it for yourself, or are you living it for God? There's something to work for. It's on the other side of the glory. Let's live for that. Amen? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we just ask You as time of invitation, let us search our hearts. Father, someone here does not know You. Help them realize that You died on the cross for their sins. They were buried, You rose the third day. Now You sit on heaven, and on the throne of heaven, offering forgiveness of their sins if they confess them, and offering eternal life if they realize that You are who You say You are, and come to You as Savior. Lord, I pray someone here today would get saved. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, that we'd be faithful and we'd be obedient, we'd be serving You. We'd be looking to You. Help us in this time. Change our lives. We ask You to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.